tonight. It's good to see some folks back, and it's good to be in air conditioning. I knew I'd get an amen for that. But anyhow, we're going to be looking at Barnabas and Saul tonight. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And I want to just read the first three verses here. So Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege again to be here tonight. We do pray for those who are apart from us. Lord, we do especially want to lift up Clarence tonight. Lord, be with the family, be with him. Father, I just pray that you give him strength and help him to recover. And Father, we just pray more than anything you'd help us put aside the cares of this world for a time. Meet with us, refresh us, strengthen us, and just help us to glorify you as we walk with you and live for you and witness for you. And Father, we just pray that we might do all this for your glory and honor and praise. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I have been preaching for a number of weeks now in the life of Saul. And we're getting very close to the portion of Scripture where he goes from being Saul to being Paul. You remember Saul means a mighty one, and Paul means a little one. And there's a transformation taking place in his life. He's becoming a whole different person. And we've talked about this, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That word creature, they may know the fuller meaning of that. It means creation. I mean, you're being recreated in the image of Christ. And so the Bible, when it says that we're a new creature, behold, all things, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And we can see that happening in the life of Saul right before our eyes. He is becoming, going from that mighty one to being that little one. And by the way, when he was weak, then he became strong. If you will, when he became small, he became big. And so he teaches us very much about what it means to walk and live the Christian life. And I want to ask this question here tonight. How often do you think of the pivotal people in your life, people who have had an impact? I mean, certainly we probably think of a pastor or maybe somebody who dealt with us at an altar, maybe a Sunday school teacher. I praise the Lord for all of you who have family members who ministered to you and taught you the Word of God and things like that. Any of y'all just think of somebody that's special you can't wait to meet in heaven? Or maybe you don't get to see him day by day, can't wait to see him again. And just think about those special people that God has placed in your lives. You know, one of the things that that produces in us is a real sense of humility. And we talked about that last week, so I'm not going to develop that any further. But we got to realize that not only did God pour himself into our lives, but he's allowed others to pour themselves into our lives. And we become, if you will, the depository, if you will, repository of all the gifts that people have shared with us and bless us with. Not only that of our experiences, but just the shared experiences that they've taken and given and ministered unto us. You know, if you think about it, Barnabas was just such a man for Paul. And one of the things that you'll see, and we'll look at it later, not now, but there became a division, the Bible says, so strong was the division that they decided to part company. And we'll see maybe part of the reason for that is this, is by the end of this chapter here, he is no longer called Saul, but he's called Paul. And it's no longer it's Barnabas and Saul, it becomes Paul and Barnabas. I mean, the whole world is changing for him, and everything is transforming. And this is the key moment. This is the pivotal moment. So I want to take and I want to look at, first off, I want to talk about Barnabas's role so far in his life. Now, some of this we've looked at already, but Barnabas's role in Saul's life, because we are looking at the life of Saul. And so if you're in your Bibles, let me encourage you to put a marker there in Acts 13, and we're just going to go all around this chapter here. So go, if you will, first off to Acts chapter 9 and look at verse 26. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. And the first thing that we see for Barnabas is this, is that he had vouched for Saul. Now, I don't know about you, but anybody ever been vouched for? You guys know what I talk about when I say that, vouched for? I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, somebody introduced you to their friends, and pretty soon you're in that circle, and you get a whole new group of friends because somebody vouched for you, said, hey, this is my friend, and they vouched for you. I will be eternally thankful. And he has never told me if he did this or not. I've kind of hinted a couple times that he did, and he's never confirmed it for me. But one thing you need to know about me is I was kind of a Lone Ranger-type preacher because I came from Colorado. I moved here where I knew nobody. My pastor didn't fellowship in circles where people, they knew my pastor, but he didn't introduce me. And the only way I knew where to go for fellowship is, hey, we know some people that meet down there. Why don't you go down there? And so that's literally how I kind of found my way. And there's two people in my life that kind of vouched for me. There's a man named Raleigh Campbell. Anybody remember Raleigh Campbell? You remember Raleigh Campbell? Do you really? Raleigh Campbell, he was just an older priest who's been in heaven for a number of years. And he saw me walk in the door and he knew I was a strange face. Now, this is a strange face. Amen. And he says, basically, he walked up and said, who are you? And I said, well, I'm Mark Bradshaw. I'm the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church in Monette, Missouri. How'd you find out about us? I said, well, a former pastor went to school here, and I thought, you know, maybe I'd come down here. And he said, oh, okay. And so he walked me around that room, and he said, this is Mark Bradshaw. He's the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, Monette, Missouri. He's a good man. I want you to take and I want you to know him. Can I just tell you this? I can't wait to meet Raleigh Campbell in heaven. He did me a favor. It got to where I knew people and got to where I felt comfortable in the crowd and everything like that. And I just owe him an eternal debt. But let me just tell you, you guys know who gets to preach in preachers' conferences and revivals and preachers' meetings. Anybody know? Preachers, very good. Nailed it right there. Preachers' friends. If they don't know you, you don't get to preach. And I remember I went to a preacher's meeting in Lubbock, Texas. And there's only one guy that even knows me there. And I went the first year, and Brother Kenny Hicks and I went down there. If you all remember Brother Kenny Hicks, we went down there. And we sat there and we listened to a preaching. And the preacher there basically apologized to me. We left, and he says, well, I can't have everybody preach. I'm sorry I didn't have you preach. I'm like, I wouldn't have had you preach either. You don't meet for the man of the moon. Amen. Well, the next time I showed up, he had me to preach, and there's just no doubt in my mind that one of my preacher's friends vouched for me and said, you can trust this guy. Go ahead and let him preach. And it was after that that people began to ask me to preach out and to preach for him and different things like that. Can I tell you this? I'll always be thankful to the person who did that for me. You know, it's nice when somebody shares their friends, and it's nice when somebody invites you into their family. I've told you about, I just blanked out. Brother Williams, Janice's family, what's their name? The Mills family. We didn't know anybody in the world in Springfield, Missouri, and the Mills family brought us in and fed us, introduced us, and adopted us as their family. And I'll be eternally grateful for that family, too. Can I just say this when it comes to this church? You know, every once in a while, a strange face walks in here. They don't have any friends. They don't know anybody. And it is such a blessing when somebody will come and say, hey, why don't you come sit by me? We're the such and such family, and we, you know, and I don't know, it doesn't always work out, but sometimes it can. But can I just tell you this? People go to church where they feel like they're welcome. I don't believe we have this spirit here, and I praise the Lord for that. But you go to some churches, and it's just like, you know what I'm talking about? Can I say that if we have any kind of spirit of that in this church, I'd encourage us not to have it. Why? I got to tell you, I'd be thankful for a man like Barnabas who, listen, what would this world be without the Apostle Paul? And I promise you this, the Apostle Paul wouldn't have been who he was without Barnabas. He vouched for him. Praise the Lord for a man like that. Praise for the opportunity that we have to have that ministry for ourselves. Not only that, but he brought him into the teaching ministry. Go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, verse 22, the Bible says this. It says, Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Hey, the Gentiles are getting saved. Barnabas, why don't you go find out what's going on? And verse 23, it says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all, that's encouraged them all. He says that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Listen, draw nigh unto God. Listen, you got a relationship with him. By the way, nothing worse than somebody that is a used to be Christian or got saved a long time ago and their relationship hadn't developed at all. He says, listen, develop your relationship with the Lord. That's what it's all about. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? And so that's what he's doing. It's exactly what he's teaching. And the Bible says here, it says in verse 24, it says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. He's having a great ministry. And then in verse 25, it says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now, folks, you remember he had already vouched for him. And my understanding, when I taught this a number of weeks ago, I believe he's been gone for 3 years getting a seminary education from the Lord himself. Okay, on the mountain of God, we preached that and taught that. I believe that's where he was. And so he knows he's back. He knows he's available. He says, this is a gifted man of God. He says, listen, I'm going to go get him and put him in the ministry. I got to tell you this. One of the happiest days of my life is when my pastor walked up to me and he said this. He says, what do you think about teaching a Sunday school class? Now, you might not believe this, the gifted orator that I am now. Man, I'm glad you guys laugh at stuff like that. I told jokes like that in Alaska, and they just... different group. They were responsive and everything, just different way of perceiving things. And the whole point is this. I said, I don't know how to teach class. I said, if you'll train me, I'll do it. And he says, all right. He says, you sit in class and watch my wife teach for a month, and then you'll be ready. I said, amen. That was my training. I was glad when he gave me a chance. And it led me to taking junior church, and it led me to being called to preach. You know, it's amazing what a little opportunity will do for somebody. Take advantage of those little opportunities. And so, if you will, Barnabas said, hey, do you want to come teach? And he said, man, you mean somebody will actually listen to what I have to say? I'm in. Let's go. I mean, he looked forward to the opportunity. He jumped at the opportunity. But it was Barnabas that took and gave it to him. Now, notice further that not only, and we looked at this last week, so I'm just going to hit this and move on, but he was also able to take a relief mission with Saul back to Judea. And you remember all those people who had rejected him and run him off and said, we're afraid of this guy. Get him out of here. He then went back and took money to help them get through a drought and get through a time of famine, if you will. And so he was able to help him heal those old relationships. Please take this the right way. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when a relationship goes bad, there needs to be a mediator? How many of you also realize this? The great mediator in our lives is Jesus Christ himself. Because Job said this. They were saying, go and make your argument with God. And he says, how can I? He says, except there be a daysman betwixt us that may lay his hand upon both of us. And what he's saying is, for me to be able to come into God's presence, God's got to come down. And for me to be able to go to him, somebody's got to go up for him. It's got to be somebody that has something in common with God and somebody that has something in common with me. Folks, that's Jesus Christ. Well, what does it take for us to have better human relationships? Amen? I have been privileged to be a chaplain now for close to 3 years, Civil Air Patrol. And if you keep supporting me, keep praying for me, I intend to have that ministry a very long time. And the reason is we come here and we know our Bible and we preach truth. Do we know the way of the Lord? And as a chaplain, you're going to people sometimes blasphemers. People who don't want to know anything about God. Some people who are very confused about what they do know about God. And if you will, I have my hand in the spiritual world. And folks, I got a military background. I'm very comfortable in the real world too. And my whole point is this, is for folks like here, I'm wanting to say, hey, see the whole world. Listen, they need to be saved. People in here, you don't need to be witnessing them by and large. but we need to go to them. And then I need to come over to these people over here. You guys are all the people over here. Just saying, especially you. And you know what I get to do for them? Hey, these people aren't so bad. They're not hypocritical. They're not judgmental. These people genuinely care for you. They love you. Do you all understand that? And that's exactly what Barnabas did. He says, listen, let's get the offering. Let's go back. Saul, you go with me. And all those people that ran you off in the first time, I promise you this, they'll be glad to take your relief funds. And they got to see this man who once was hauling him off to jail and having him killed, giving him money for food. And they said, well, maybe there is something different about him now. Any of y'all ever had anybody ever had this conversation? No, some of you have and some of you haven't. But you ever had this conversation with somebody? Well, Bradshaw, I remember when you used to, and people are like, is there anything different about you now? Oh, yeah, let me tell you. Let me tell you, there's something different about him now. Why don't you listen to him, okay? Y'all understand that? And sometimes just helping to break down the barriers like that. They have done that for the Apostle Paul. And so what a benefit and what a blessing. Now, I want you to think about a couple, if you will, implications because of this, okay? He vouched for Saul. He brought him into the teaching ministry. He was able to take and restore and reconcile him with people that hated him. And here's what I want you to think about. Up to this point, Barnabas was the most prominent man, might have been the most prominent man in the church apart from the apostles. Very possible. I mean, he's written more than anybody else at this point after the ascension of Christ. And think about this. Paul was the mentee, not the mentor. Is mentee even a word? I will tell you this. It didn't come up on spell check, so I think it's a word. A mentee is that word? That's minty. A mentee is the one who is being taught, and the mentor is the one teaching. Y'all understand that? And up to this point, if you will, it was Barnabas. Come on, Saul. Y'all understand? Can I ask you a question here? Who had more education? It's not even close. Folks, the Bible says that the Apostle Paul, that he took and he was trained at the feet of a man named Gamaliel. And if you study it out, the Talmud, the Jewish tradition, takes and teaches that he was the head of a school called the School of Hillel. Folks, they still study the School of Hillel today, okay? Some people say he was his grandson. That might be whatever. That doesn't really matter. But listen, in the Bible, they basically said he was a great teacher, and Paul sat at his feet. Can I just tell you this? He had a Harvard education. Now I'm going to get myself in trouble here. Let's think of a junior college in New Zealand. All right, I'm good. You all with me? Here he's walking around Dr. Paul, and I guarantee he was Dr. Paul. But not only was he taught by Gamaliel, folks, he was taught by Jesus Christ himself. In Galatians chapter 1, he says, I wasn't taught the gospel that I preached by any of the apostles. He says, I was taught it by Jesus Christ himself. Read Galatians chapter 1. That's exactly what it says. So here you are, the Apostle Paul. He's Dr. Paul, and he was educated in his gospel message by Jesus Christ himself. And yet, when they saw the relationship, it was Barnabas and Saul. Y'all see that? They say that you can never truly learn to lead until you learn to follow. And can I just ask a question? Your opinion now. You can give your opinion. What do you think Saul had done with his leadership abilities up to this point? I think he'd made a mess of things. How about you? He's hauling good men off to jail and killing them. I mean, he was instrumental in seeing Stephen killed. Y'all understand that? Last night I had the opportunity to teach character development in Civil Air Patrol, and I taught humility. And you say, well, how can humility be a good character trait for a leader? Let me tell you something. If you don't have a humble leader, you got a bad leader. What was Paul learning? Well, Dr. Paul, who was trained at the feet of Jesus Christ himself, Why don't you let this man lead you around for a while? Build your credentials. Teach you what it's like to comfort people instead of destroying people. Amen. And he did that. He walked with him and he learned from him. And can you imagine how humbling that would be? Dr. Paul, led about by Justin. By the way, that's his name. Barnabas, the son of Constellation. Okay? Think about this for a second. He was a doctor. He was trained by the Lord himself. But Saul chose to subordinate himself, or was considered subordinate to Barnabas until this time. I'm going to ask you a question here, and you be honest with yourself. Have you ever thought that you knew more than your teacher? Everybody in their humility is like, don't call on me, don't call on me. I appreciate your honesty. I've trained people. I've seen people trained who thought that they knew more than the one teaching them. Are you still starting to connect? And can I just tell you this, that usually it ends up bad. Because even if you are smarter, and even if you do have more education, and even if you do have deeper understanding, can I tell you it's a good thing to learn to be a follower for a while? It's a good thing. To have the humility of, you know what, I don't think I'd do it this way, but he is in charge of me now. Children, can I tell you this? You might be smarter than your parents. Not one amen. I give them all the perfect chance for an amen. It could happen. I want to tell a joke right now so bad. You might have more character than your parents. You might have more physical strength than somebody you work for. And yet, they're the boss and you're the employee. They're the parent, you're the child. And can I tell you this, one of the best lessons you'll learn in your life ever is to submit yourself to authority that is placed above you. Because the Bible says if you're not faithful with the little that you're given, who's going to trust you with true riches? If you're not a good follower, who's ever going to want to put you in charge? Do you all understand that? And one thing that we see, especially in the church, it applies to us in the church. Listen, if you can't follow, why would I want to make you a leader? Okay? Saul had to learn that. Saul did learn that. He learned how to be a good follower. And don't you know that every once in a while he's like, yeah, I don't think I'd have done it that way. I don't think I'd have preached it that way. By the way, you know what every young preacher says when he listens to somebody else preach? I could fix that message. I would love to meet the preacher who says that's not a true statement. You know what? I don't do that anymore. God's taught me some things in that area. Now, every once in a while, I think, you know, I'll steal it and claim it for my own. Amen. Anybody here ever deal with pride? And you forget that God can and God will use anybody who's willing to be used. I used to spend so much time listening to sermons going, man, I'm a better preacher than him. Why don't they let me preach? You know what I remember about the messages? I'm a better preacher than him. Why don't they let me preach? I don't do that anymore. I pray I don't. I listen to what they say and I think, well, maybe I knew most of that, but boy, they had an insight on that one thing I'd never seen before. Y'all see how important it is to let God do those things to humble us and to and to help us to learn to follow. And you're getting it, so I'll move on. Okay. Paul subordinated himself. You must learn to follow before you can learn to lead. And just because you're, listen to me, this is so important. Just because you're a leader in the community does not necessarily mean that you're ready for a similar role in the church. I didn't know if I wanted to share this illustration, but I will. When I was still a fairly young preacher, we were going door knocking one day, and I knocked the door of this one man's house, and he came, he visited a couple times, and it came time to go visit and say, how are you doing? What do you think? And he says, man, I love the church. I'm thinking about joining. And I said, well, amen. And so I asked him about his salvation, and he told me he was saved, and he told me he was divorced and remarried. And I said, okay. And he said, well, I want to join your church, but I want to be a deacon. And I said, well, you know, let's have the hard conversation now. There's certain qualifications for a deacon. You have to be a husband and one wife. Okay? And he only wanted to join our church if he could be a deacon. And I don't like losing anybody. But I was like, well, we're not joining the church to become a deacon. I will say this, I ended up losing a family over that. Okay? Because they just couldn't understand why I would tell somebody that we're not looking for deacons when we go door knocking. What's the Bible say? The Bible says that a man should first be proved. Is that what the Bible said? Well, I'm the president of such and such bank. I appreciate that. You're a good businessman. But we're looking for different qualifications in the church. We're looking men who love their families. And we're looking people who are workers. We're looking for people who are humble. And we're not looking for people who are going to come in here to be a blessing to us. It's the wrong attitude. Y'all understand that? And so the Bible tells us, let a man first be proved. You remember when they took and they selected the deacons, what they did is they came and they said, search out from among the multitude. They said, look at all the people. They gave them the qualifications that they were supposed to look for. And they said, these people will be qualified. And they took and they brought them to the apostles. And they said, that's good. And folks, of all the multitude, they only chose seven. And then later, we'll look here in a second here, later they distinguished themselves in some areas too, amen? But folks, not one of them became a deacon except the people in the church says, we'd like that guy to serve us. We'd like that guy to serve us. Come on up. I wonder how many doctors got overlooked. I wonder how many rich men got overlooked. You know, it doesn't tell us what kind of bank accounts those men had. You know what it does say, though? The people who had need said, these people will do a good job serving us. Do y'all understand what I mean? Let a man first be proved. You know, that's a qualification for a preacher. Not a novice. Lest he be lifted in pride. Saying what? Saying, lest you better prove that guy first. Make sure he can walk humbly before you let him stand in front of people and tell them what to do for a living. Amen. Let them first be proved. Let them first be proved. And so we see that's exactly what has happened for the Apostle Paul. So Barnabas' role so far, he vouched for Saul. He brought him into teaching ministry. He was able to use him to reconcile with the people in Judea. And now the roles are getting ready to change from Barnabas being prominent to Saul or Paul being prominent. And so go back to our text in Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 2. Okay. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Let's talk about Barnabas and Saul's calling. Because many are qualified, but few are called. Matthew chapter 20, verse 16 says, many are called, but few are chosen. So if you will, many are invited. Hey, who would like to serve? But you get too many and say, well, we'll use you, you, and you. Few are chosen. Y'all understand that? And so here we are. Think about these men who are in this church. The Bible says there's Barnabas and there's Simeon and there's Lucius and there's Manaen and then there's Saul. And as far as I'm concerned here, all of these were qualified. All of these were serving. All of these were having a great ministry. They wouldn't have been listed. Y'all understand that? And God says, I don't want all of you. I just want Barnabas and Saul. Okay? Now, I think about this, and I praise God. The Lord has called me to preach. It was just a definite call. I knew I had a call. But I've known some good, godly men. Loved the Lord, wanted to serve the Lord. I've heard some of them say, I wish the Lord would call me, but the Lord didn't call them. And I just, as I think about that, I think this addresses that just a little bit here, a little bit. You see, if you think about it, many are qualified, but only a few are called. Many were qualified in this church, but only two of them were called. Two were selected. Now, notice also, this is kind of the principle that's given to us in the Bible. Go to Acts chapter 1, just real quick. Look at this. Acts chapter 1, and look at verse 20. The Bible says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So let another, Judas Iscariot is no longer an apostle, so let somebody else be an apostle. Verse 21, it says, wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two. Let me just stop there for a second. I wonder how many were qualified. I wonder how many met those qualifications. I mean, it doesn't really say, but the Bible says that of all the people who were qualified, they said, well, let's pick these two and then we'll vote on them. Okay, we'll vote on them. They took and they voted, and you know, they went from two down to one, if you will. Notice, if you will, again, many qualified, but only some called. Okay? Think about this. When it came to the multitude, that they had a multitude, thousands of people to choose from. They said, you seven. They said, you seven. And then of those seven, God took and he marked out two of them for distinction, whereby he made Stephen an amazing prophet, and Bible says a miracle worker, by the way. I'm going to say that again. A deacon who was a miracle worker. Amen. And he was prominent among the seven. You're chosen to a special task. You're going to be the first martyr. Okay? And then Philip, he's called the evangelist. Folks, he's the one that dealt with the Ethiopian eunuch. Had a unique gift. I'll tell you, if you want to start a controversy amongst yourself, he also had a tremendously unique gift in the fact that he had four daughters that prophesied too. A soul-winning family, a Bible-teaching family, a serving family. You all understand that? And so, if you will, many are called, but only a few are chosen. Well, let's see how we apply that then, okay? I was thinking about that. There might be many reasons why good men might not be called, okay? I think there's many reasons why good men might not be called. I just put a couple of them down. For foundational reasons, can I say this? If we're going to send missionaries, probably ought to have strong churches at home to support them. Amen? And I got to tell you, good churches are built on good men and good families and have to have, of course, the foundation that the Lord laid, but we also have to have the foundation of the church of people who are serving and growing and defending the faith. Amen? And we need them at home. And you say, well, I want God to call me. Well, if God didn't call you, can I just say this? You can serve God in the church just as good as you serve overseas if you're in the middle of his will. Y'all understand that? Please take this the right way, but I think it might be discouraging to some because they're like this. You guys ever seen when you're picking teams? Right? I face this a lot, and I'm not over it yet. Dodgeball or basketball, you're like, pick me. You know, there's 5 people on a team and 11 people to choose from. You're like, please don't let me be number 11. Right? Because you want to play. Okay. Well, the whole point is this. You say, well, why hasn't God called me? I'm a good man. I love the Lord. I want to serve him. And God just doesn't put that call. I don't know why. Many are called, but only few are chosen. Y'all understand that? It's getting real quiet here. Can I just say this? It's good to be a man who's not called and be a faithful, stable, serving person in a church. Praise God. That's what I'm trying to exalt. That's what I'm trying to elevate. Okay? I will tell you this also, maybe for family reasons, not just foundational reasons, maybe for family reasons. I don't know. Just, you know, maybe something in the family's not there. Maybe you need to be there for your family. I don't know. I know this. Anybody know how to know when somebody's called? This, nobody got a guess, an idea? Okay. Let's start with the basics. First off, they got to be qualified. Can I just say this? God hadn't called you if you're not qualified. That's one of the reasons you want to maintain your purity. Stay right with God when you're young. Why? So that you stay usable for the Lord. Amen. Okay? Because there might be a day where you want to be used, and God said, I can't use you. Okay? So you got to be qualified. The second one is this. You've got to recognize in yourself, God's calling me. How many of y'all realize, there's no doubt that Saul realized God was calling him to something. God takes you out to a mountain for 3 years and teaches you the gospel. How many of y'all think maybe God's got his hand on you? He knew that God had called him. He just didn't know where and when and how and why. I did this with my pastor. I said, Pastor, I said, how does a man know when he's called to the ministry? And my pastor said this. He said, I thought God was dealing with you. What does that mean? That means, folks, if you're called, other people are going to recognize it. Other people are going to recognize it. If you're going like this and nobody's calling on you, please take this right. That might be a time maybe for prayer and fasting on your part. Okay? Lord, I really want to serve you. And maybe he'll put a burden and say, I got a place for you to serve. It's right here. You know, sometimes people want to do everything else except for what God's called them to do. If God wants you to be a faithful Sunday school teacher, he doesn't want you in Papua New Guinea. You guys understand my point? And if that's where God wants you, you can pray and fast and say, oh God, where do you want me? I want to serve you. I want you right where you are. Praise God. But if God is calling you, and there's no doubt that God, you looked at those men and you said, man, God is doing something with these men. There is something going on with these men. And they prayed, God, what do you want us to do? And they fasted. We're not eating until you give us an answer. Amen. And God said, call Barnabas and Saul. I got a job for them. And Barnabas and Saul said, we think God's got a job for us. And they prayed, and the church says, God's got a job for Barnabas and Saul. Y'all with me? It's getting very quiet here. All the people not called to the mission field, apparently. I'm joking about that. Y'all understand the point? Folks, please take this seriously. This doesn't get preached on very much. It doesn't get preached on enough. And some of you might not care, but some of you might be saying, God, I want God to use me. Can I just say this? Then stay pure. Keep working. Stay humble. Let people teach you. Have a teachable spirit. Volunteer for everything. And by the way, do a good job when you get asked. Amen. And then people might say, you know what? I think God's got something going on there. And that person says, I think God wants me to do something. And it comes together. Can I show you one last thing? We're nearly out of time. I just want to hit this real quick. God called them, and then they commissioned them. They sent them out, and they went on their missionary journey. And I just want you to see the last thing. Is they were voted on, and they were sent. But then they also were accountable. Would you go to Acts chapter 14 just real quick, and we'll be done. I want to hit this, and I'll hit it a number of times in the next couple of weeks, no doubt. But Acts chapter 14, verse 24. The Bible says, and after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, it says, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Folks, they went back to the church to send them out. Please, everybody, do me a favor and say amen. Okay. And the Bible says in verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Folks, they reported back to their church. They said, you gave us a commission. By the way, they probably gave them some funds. Amen. And here's what we did with those funds. They made themselves accountable. Can I just tell you this? One of the things that's wrong with what's going on in the churches today is there's very little accountability. We need to be able to answer to somebody. You can't just be a missionary, go out and do whatever you want. You got to go out under the authority of a church, and when you do your work, you got to come back and say, here's what we did with the funds, here's what we did with the time, here's what we did with your prayers. Amen. And if you think about that, that would have to transform a man's life. Amen. Where Big Shot Saul became whatever you want me to do, Lord. And he became a humble follower until it went from being Barnabas and Saul to Paul and Barnabas. And God took and made him and gave him the greater ministry after he had learned those fundamental, foundational lessons. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to study your word. I just pray that you would speak.